Welcome back to Feminist Book Club, the podcast. We're not just about feminist books. We are here for social justice, literature, and media in all its forms. But we do that through an intersectional feminist lens. Thanks for being here. Let's get started.
Hi, friends. This is one of your hosts, Emma, pronouns she, her, hers. And, you know, I'm sending care out to all of you guys listening right now. I know that it's kind of a stressful time right now with COVID cases going back up, and I know that it can be very anxiety provoking to be in large groups sometimes. I'm especially sending care and energies to our educators and parents who I know are going through a lot of stress right now. You know, this is your reminder to try and take care of yourselves as best that you can and pay attention and listen to your body too. And the stress and way that you're holding yourself right now. Like, are you really tense? Are you holding your back up high? Like, try to remember to release your shoulders a little bit and to breathe. Make sure you're drinking plenty of water. I know that's not all a solution, but just letting you guys know, I'm thinking of y'all out there listening. So I've been doing a few segments on some of my top reads in 2021. Which I have now read 121 books so far this year. And I wanted to like throw a couple more out there, but then, you know, with everything going on, I actually think it's best this segment to focus on one of my favorite reads of 2021, but is, I think, very helpful and maybe very healing for some of you all. And some of you all may have already read this one, or you've read books by this author. But I am talking about Adrienne Marie Brown's Pleasure Activism. And like I said, I bring this book up particularly because I always revisit this one when I feel like I need some healing. And I think that it's a really fantastic book. Some of you may recognize that name, Adrienne Marie Brown. She is a pretty incredible human. She is a social justice facilitator who's focused on Black liberation. She is a doula and a healer, and she's a pleasure activist. She's the author of many books, many pretty incredible books, including Immersion Strategy, Pleasure Activism, which I'm going to talk about a little bit, Holding Change, The Way of Emergent Strategy, Facilitation, and Meditation. That one, I believe, just came out in April. As well as We Will Not Cancel Us and Other Dreams of Transformative Justice, which came out last November. That's a really good one. Very quick, short read, so definitely recommend. And she is also the author of Undrowned, Black Feminist Lessons from Marine Mammals. And she has also worked on Octavia Brood's science fiction stories from social justice movements. She is definitely someone who does a lot of work and a lot of pretty incredible pieces of labor that we are very lucky to be able to learn from. But I want to talk to you all about pleasure activism because I think that it's really important to focus on healing and pleasure in times of high stress. And I think a lot of times that's the hardest thing for us to do in times of hard stress. And I need to remember that, which is why I revisit this book. But for those of you who are just like, what is pleasure activism even? So according to the book and Adrienne Marie Brown, pleasure is a feeling of happy satisfaction and enjoyment. And activism consists of efforts to promote, impede, or direct social, political, economic, and environmental reform or stasis with a desire to make improvements in society. So what Adrienne Marie Brown says is that pleasure activism is the work we do to reclaim our whole selves, our whole happy and satisfiable selves, from the impacts, delusions, and limitations of oppression and or supremacy. Pleasure activism asserts that we all need and deserve pleasure and that our social structures must reflect this. In this moment, we must prioritize the pleasure of those most impacted by oppression. Adrienne Marie Brown also talks a lot in this book about this, how this is hand in hand with healing and transformative justice, which I really love. And what she does is she actually highlights a number of activists and artists in so many different spaces who talk about healing and pleasure and transformative justice and love and care. Which I love because I feel like artists often get left out of a lot of books, conversations like this. And I feel like so many artists like are so political and are so thinking about all of these pieces. So I really appreciate that she has these conversations with people who are creating art. And, you know, she talks a lot about transformative justice as well. So, you know, just the idea that we go beyond calling for punishment and we're even thinking about like not restoring original conditions, which are often imbalanced and healthy in the first place, but thinking about transforming the underlying conditions that allowed the harm to happen. So understanding that we've all been harmed, but we have also all caused harm. And so it's this constant process of, as what she says, is rigorous self-examination, honesty, and accountability. And what I really love about pleasure activism and just Adrienne Marie Brown's works in general is that she really reminds us to look at the nuances, right? Think beyond just face surface level and just really be honest with ourselves and be honest with whatever we're dealing with and whoever we're dealing with. What I love about this is it's not just like a brutal honesty, but it's a reminder to be honest, but also love ourselves as much as we love others. And especially in this, it's that, you know, we can give ourselves and others pleasure in a lot of different ways, right? Things like authentic presence, which I love that so much, authentic presence, and abundant care and honesty and boundaries, right, that keep us from overextending, as well as just the physical, you know, it's not always about physical touch, but if that is something that brings you pleasure or others pleasure, like keep that in mind as well. So I really love that she kind of nails and talks about and has conversations about all of these pieces. Another piece that I really love about this book is that she gives you homework. And, you know, I love books that give you homework. I think also this book goes really well hand in hand with The Body's Not an Apology, which has been a past Feminist Book Club pick. And we have been able to have a conversation with Sonia Renee Taylor. So I definitely, if you haven't yet picked that up or you loved it, this is something I think that goes really, really, pairs really nicely. But I love that, like, you know, she gives us homework. So like an example would be like, she talks again and explains more in depth, like what pleasure activism is, but then asks you to think about like who politicized your experiences of body and identity and sensation and feeling good. And if they're living, have you thanked them properly? And if you have thanked them, then like, good, do it again. That's what she says. And if not, reach out. And if there are ancestors, then honor them with maybe a pleasure altar that's with different pieces, and thinking about how gratitude's a part of pleasure too. So I really love that that is a piece of this work. And honestly, I could go on and on about this book, but really I just want you guys to like read it and, you know, read Adrienne Marie Brown's words on your own, because I obviously cannot do them justice. I think I'll leave you with one of my favorite pieces too that she talks about is, you know, that quote that we know so well from Audre Lorde, that caring for ourselves is not self-indulgence, it's self-preservation, and it's an act of political warfare. And I think what I love about this is that, you know, as I said earlier, this book's so much deeper than surface level. And Adrienne Marie Brown says, quote, although we know how to meme and tweet these words, living them is much harder. We have a deeper socialization to overcome, one that tells us that most of us don't matter. Our health, our votes, our work, our safety, our families, our lives don't matter. Not as much as those of white men. So we need to learn how to practice love such that care for ourselves and others is understood as political resistance and cultivating resilience. We don't learn to love in a linear path from self to family to friends to spouse as we might have been taught. We learn to love by loving, and we practice with each other, on ourselves, in all kinds of relationships. And right now we need to be in rigorous practice because we can no longer afford to love people the way that we've been loving them. End quote. Also, just to like to add, she does go on in this piece to talk about, you know, how have we been loving? And I love that she brings up defining love by obligation. So like with holidays, right? Or different pieces like that, things with family. Sometimes that's more it does feel more like obligation, I think, than genuine, authentic love, genuine, authentic presence. So like thinking of that and how we do that. I think she's also talking a little bit about like Valentine's Day love, right? Where it's like something that we like, oh, I got this like teddy bear and this like plastic candy bar and there we go, I'm done. But like, you know, thinking beyond that. And you know, there's definitely can be love there. I think thinking beyond that kind of love where we're forced to kind of celebrate or forced, obligated to kind of do something. Like I said, I could talk about this for hours. I love this book so much. She has so many quotes too that we hear so often. Like I mentioned the Audre Lorde quote. She also talks a little bit about a Grace Lee Boggs quote that I always have really felt strongly about, which is transform yourself to transform the world. And I think that's so rooted and weaved into like love and pleasure activism. For all of you feminists listening, I think that if you haven't picked this one up yet, this might be something that's really interesting to you. Please do let me know what you think. And I hope that if you read it and you need some healing, I hope that you're able to find some healing in this. I know that I was. So definitely sending you all care. I will talk to you guys soon.
Today's episode is sponsored by Kobo Audiobooks. I often get asked how I read so many books, and one of the most significant changes I've made is listening to audiobooks. If you are looking to level up your reading routine, Kobo's audiobook membership is just what you need. Choose from thousands of audiobook titles in Kobo's catalog, including bestsellers and originals. You can use your monthly credit on any audiobook, regardless of its list price. And with the free Kobo app, you have access to your listening library at all times. One thing I love about the Kobo app is the ability to adjust the listening speed. I tend to listen to audiobooks at 1.5 speed when I'm home, doing housework, gardening, driving, wherever. I take it with me everywhere. If you want a feature-packed audiobook listening experience, download the free Kobo app and start listening today. Head to www.kobo.com for more. Thank you to Kobo for sponsoring today's show. Hi everyone, Renee Powers here. Today, I'm going to take you through some of my favorite tearjerker books. And I have to say that I am not a crier, but there are 5 books that I want to talk about that absolutely made me cry. So if you are an emotional person or, you know, easy to cry, like, be forewarned. These books made my stone heart break. So the first I want to talk about is The Stationery Shop by Marjan Kamali. It is the book that inspired this segment because I ugly cried reading this book. The Stationery Shop at its center is in Tehran, Iran, and our main character, Roya, is a young woman. It's 1953 Tehran, meets this boy, Baman. They quickly fall in love over poetry and books in this little stationery shop. And then Tehran is lost in an uprising and they're separated and they don't see each other ever again. 60 years later, though, they find each other in Boston, of all places. And they've lived separate lives, but never forgot one another. It is a stunning book. And I read this. I have to tell you, I read this on a, oh gosh, super long flight, like 12-hour flight or something. And I was nervous for this flight. I was going to Thailand for the first time and I just like wasn't in a super great headspace. I broke down, had a full-on panic attack. And I shouldn't joke about that. Like I do have a panic disorder. And so And this triggered that for me. So be forewarned, but it is so beautiful. It is the book that I will go back to if I ever need an ugly cry. I'm sure you have a movie that makes you ugly cry. It's like, I just need to get it out. I'm going to pop in whatever. Mine is A Walk to Remember. If I need a good cry, I pop in A Walk to Remember. Or I read The Stationery Shop by Marjan Kamali. I have an interview with the author that I will link in the show notes as well. It is, again, one of the most beautiful, heart-wrenching books I've ever read, and it is absolutely worth the tears. So again, that's The Stationery Shop by Marjan Kamali. The next book I want to share with you, I feel like I'm just wearing my heart on my sleeve here, is Love You Hard, a memoir of marriage, brain injury, and reinventing love by Abby Maslin. So Abby Maslin, her husband, TC, was jumped on the street one night and beat up and suffered a traumatic brain injury. He wasn't able to speak or walk for a long time. He ends up in a very intensive rehab, but Abby and their son, I believe, they've got a child, I think it's their son, have to figure out how to be a family again and how to be a caretaker for a young man. I mean, TC was in his 30s when this happened. And so, and he was very active and very athletic before that. And so what does it mean for a marriage, especially when one of the partners is incapacitated for a long time? And the TBI has lasting effects. Spoiler alert, they get through it and he's much better. He did heal. He's gone through intensive therapy. But the years during this memoir are so difficult. And Abby Maslin, the author, writes with such raw emotion that it broke my heart. One of my biggest fears is having something happen to my brain or seeing my partner in this situation. And I will say that, again, I found this very triggering to my panic and anxiety because it is so raw and so well done, so beautifully written, that I could seriously imagine myself in this situation and think, what would I do? How would I manage this? It's a stunning, stunning read. It is so honest, so poignant. Like, how do you recreate a marriage with someone that you hardly recognize? It's so well done. So again, that is Love You Hard, a memoir of marriage, brain injury, and reinventing love by Abby Maslin. And again, I've got an interview with Abby. I will link in the show notes. The third book I want to mention, is a tough hang, but so, so beautiful. It's Salvage the Bones by Jessamyn Ward. This won the National Book Award in 2011. This centers around a Black family in Mississippi, primarily our main character Esh and her three brothers. Esh is 14. She's pregnant. She knows there is a hurricane coming. It's Hurricane Katrina, so you can imagine. And this book covers 12 days of their sacrifices and preparing for the storm. And you're left wondering what happened to them. The story leads us up to the first day of the storm. And then you're left wondering, where did they go? Where are they now? It's fiction, but I'm still wondering, where are they now? If you know anything about Jessamyn Ward, you know that she is a brilliant wordsmith. She can speak volumes in 4 or 5 words. There is something about the way that she puts words together that is transcendent. And this book really established that for me, and I'm excited to read more Jessamyn Ward. It made me excited to read more Jessamyn Ward and see what she has coming down the pipeline. But this book will break your heart, and it'll do it in the most beautiful way, though. So that's Salvage the Bones by Jessamyn Ward. The fourth book, that's a tearjerker, was one of our very first books of the month. It's Pachinko by Min Jin Lee. This is the book that began my love affair with multi-generational family sagas. Pachinko is one of those. We start in the early 1900s in Korea, and we follow a thread of this family for many, many generations, starting in the 1900s, ending up in present day. It follows this Korean family and how they end up in Japan, and all of the sacrifices and drama and family lore and all of the things that go into many, many generations, particularly many generations of women, and how they survive. It's one of those books that made me think about my own ancestors and what it took my ancestors to sacrifice to get me where I am. And it's so reflective and so beautifully done. It's like 4 bajillion pages. Actually, I've got the book right here. It is almost 500 pages. So it's a doorstopper, but it reads so quickly. There is just something that Min Jin Lee, the author, does that sweeps you up in this book and spits you out at the end. Like, how does it move so quickly? But it's so well done. It is, again, so sad, so beautiful, breaking your heart in the most beautiful way, and you will be better for it. So that is, again, Pachinko by Min Jin Lee. Finally, I have to tell you about The Beekeeper of Aleppo by Christy Lefteri. Oof. One of the like subgenres that I have found myself most moved by is refugee stories. And this is fiction, but it tells the story of a Syrian refugee, Nuri and Afra. It starts in Syria where Nuri is a beekeeper. And I'm obsessed with bees. I think that that is just, I love bees. That's all. Full stop. And so is Nuri, the main character. He loves his bees and he takes such good care of them. He's so compassionate. He's such a beautiful character, full of emotion. But Syria is unstable and Aleppo is destroyed by the war. So Nuri and his wife Afra make their way to what they hope will be Yorkshire, Britain, because Nuri has a cousin in Yorkshire who also is a beekeeper. So that's the through line of the whole story, are these bees. But we follow Nuri and his wife and all of the just heartbreaking suffering that they have to go through, all of the loss that they experience on their way to England. And it's not an easy hang. I'm sure my listeners don't think that refugees are just looking for handouts. I know that you are not the audience that thinks that. However, if you have any inkling that refugees have it at all easy, they certainly do not. This is a dangerous journey. It is a scary journey. It is a journey full of loss and fear and what we do as humans to survive in this world. You will be so moved by this book. You will cry and just let those tears fall because this is a heartbreaking story. So that's The Beekeeper of Aleppo by Christy Lefteri. I'm going to leave links to all of these books in the show notes, but just a reminder, we've got The Stationery Shop by Marjan Kamali, Love You Hard by Abby Maslin, Salvage the Bones by Jasmine Ward, Pachinko by Min Jin Lee, and The Beekeeper of Aleppo by Christy Lefteri. I hope you find something you love here, even if it does break your heart, even if it does make you cry. That's what books are supposed to do. They're supposed to make you feel, right? And these stories are stunning. I have to note, I didn't include some of the notorious tearjerkers, such as A Little Life or The Great Believers, because I haven't read them, because I try to steer clear of tearjerkers. These are the ones that I accidentally fell into. So if you've got a tearjerker that you'd like to recommend that you think is totally worth the roller coaster of emotions, I would love to hear it. You can leave that in the comments on our blog, which is where we post our show notes for this episode. You can message us on Instagram or leave it on our Instagram photo for this episode. I would love to start a conversation about tearjerkers and why the hell we read them. Why do we do this to ourselves? So again, I'm Renee. It was good to chat with you today. You can find me on Instagram at BelleRenee, or you can follow Feminist Book Club at Feminist Book Club Box. I'm also doing personalized reading recommendations over on TikTok. So make sure you are following us on TikTok. We are just Feminist Book Club on TikTok, and leave a comment there if you would like your own personalized reading recommendation. I will talk to you soon. Take care. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of Feminist Book Club, the podcast. Want to be part of the club? Here's how you can join us. Obviously, subscribe to our podcast and leave a rating and review for brownie points. Follow along on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, and TikTok. All of those links are in the show notes. Sign up for our newsletter to be the first to know what our next monthly book pick is. And check out our award-winning monthly book subscription service. Oprah Magazine named it one of their favorite book boxes, and Shonda Rhimes called us one of her favorite subscription boxes in general. There are multiple membership levels for any budget, and it's an excellent way to support the show and the voices you heard today. See you in the club.
A well-read woman is a dangerous creature.